morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Hope you're having a great one. So this morning, during pre-service prayer, I felt the Lord put something on my heart that today He has something for all of His children. He said to me that He has something wild and radical, something for each of you. He has something for you. He has something for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. He has something for everybody here in this place. And so what He said is that all we need to do in order to accept it is we just have to want it. We just have to want it so bad right now. We have to be hungry and we have to crave it. We have to want it and we have to prepare our hearts. So I'm going to pray this over everybody right now that our hearts would just be prepared. So Lord, I just thank You so much for every person in this room and for the amazing things that You're going to give them today, Lord, through the worship or through the service, Lord. I just thank You that they are going to be able to receive something today, Lord, something powerful, something fresh, something new. So I just declare right now that each and every heart in this room would just begin to open and just begin to be ready to accept everything that You have for them today. And Lord, we just thank You for this day and for the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
See you. on, church, let's declare this this morning. That you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. That you're never gonna let. That you're. Never. us out.
Desire is to know you deeper.
knowledge of heaven. Hey, Jesus, I need a touch from heaven. Oh.
So, the second verse, the third line says, the breath in my soul and the life in my bones. Every day that we wake up, that is a realization that He is the breath in our soul. And every night when we lay down, we realize that He has been the life in our bones. That's how we've gotten through each day. And that just calls to me every time I see that. It just makes me want to take a deep breath and rest in my sweet Savior. So can we sing that verse again?
Day. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. We ask that you would just bless it. Allow us, Lord, to hear your voice and prepare our hearts for the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to take a moment here, and I would like all the mothers to please stand. Are already standing. Great. Okay. Got a verse to read for you here, if I can get to it. This is from the Today's YouVersion. If you get the verse of the day, I'm reading through the easy read version when it comes. So this is Proverbs 31, verses 25 and 26. She is a strong person, and people respect her. She looks to the future with confidence. She speaks with wisdom and teaches others to be loving and kind. It's our mothers, isn't it? Yep, they have a heart for their children. They have a heart for individuals who come into their lives, that the Lord lets them be like kids to them, because especially ones who know the Lord. It's like God puts another level of being a mother spiritually into their life. So I want to thank you all for being mothers and for going through the difficulties of being a mother. I know you've had many long nights up with sick kids and lots of hurt and pain as you see them hurting and with pain. It's like the mother always senses and feels where the guy, the father says, yeah, they'll be okay. The mother always senses and feels their pain. They feel the pain of their kids. So I'm going to speak a blessing over you. I just want you to receive it. Father, I just bless every woman right here in the name of Jesus right now, Lord. I thank you for their life. I thank you, Lord, that you've called them for such a time as this. Lord, I thank you for the children that you've given them, Lord, that they have been given to them as a gift. And Lord, that you have put in their hearts what those children need, Lord, from their mother. I pray, Lord, you continue to bless them, Lord, and richly, Lord, as they get to know you more. Lord, that as they discover, Lord, you being their heavenly Father, they learn even more about what it means to be a mother here in this time. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just bless them and their families, Lord, this day. Lord, let them have a rich day together and in you. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you have demonstrated, Lord, the love of God through the mothers that you've given us, Lord, the mothers that are here today. And we bless them now all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The guys, let's give them a hand.
Praise the Lord.
All right, mothers, we have some gifts over there for you. So we're going to now take just a brief time of fellowship. You can get coffee and share with each other, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Bless you.
Hey, good morning. Oh, thanks. Good morning. So today we're going to get started with the declaration, which is the heart of the house. And for those of you who haven't been here before while doing it, we started doing declarations just to kind of take authority and step into the authority that God's given us to be able to make a difference, not only in our church, but also for our city. But we need to be able to make sure that we're believing these things and standing firm in what we're saying. This is so fun. Hi, guys. So if you guys want to join me, if you guys will stand up, because there's something about our posture, like when we're standing and we're standing firm. I mean, those of you who can, if you can't, that's okay too. You're just as powerful. But I want us to just speak these things out as if we really believe them, and that we believe that these are things that are going to happen and have already come, okay? So I declare that our God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Hallelujah. That's amazing, you guys. God really is making moves in our favor, in our hearts. And when we posture ourselves towards him, it's amazing at what we can overcome and what we can go through. The valleys that are so, so deep become the biggest mountaintops, where we get to just celebrate his goodness, right? Amen. So without further ado, I think we have some announcements. The only thing that we're really announcing today is pre-service prayer. You guys, I can't tell you guys enough. It is such a shift that happens when you are able to posture your heart towards the Lord. So every Sunday from 9:45 to 10 a.m., we're downstairs. If you can't make it downstairs, I could lead one upstairs as well. So just come at 9:45 if your heart is wanting to pray, and just prepare yourselves for the service that's about to happen and what God is moving to do. I just invite you to come. It's an amazing time of not only fellowship with others, but to get yourself in a stance and prepared for what it is that the Lord's wanting to do in you and in your brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen.
Amen. And then the last thing we have is just giving. So thank you guys for everyone who sows into this house. Like we always say, it doesn't go unnoticed. And I just want to read this verse real quick. It's nothing we haven't heard before, but I'm going to read it in the Passion. It's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, "Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty." Everyone take a deep breath. Oh, I don't have to give to the church if it's not coming from my heart, right? Here's the secret sauce, guys. Jesus isn't interested in your 10%. He's interested in 100%. He wants all of you. He wants all of your money. Give your 10%, but understand that God is wanting to take authority in every single part of your finances, okay? So we give from your heart. It says, "Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving." The next time you guys, whether it's you give online or you write a check or you give physical cash or whatever it is, I want you guys to check your heart in that moment and make sure that your heart is in a joyful place when you're giving. And I would even say this, if your heart is in a joyful place, don't give that Sunday. Mm-hmm. Maybe hold it for next Sunday. Because God wants us to give out of a joyful place. That's what's going to bless this house, is when the sons and daughters of this house of God say, "I'm going to give with a joyful heart, because I know that my little 10, 20, whatever it is you give, a dollar, whatever it is you give, is going to bless the kingdom of God through this house." Amen. And then it ends with this: all because God loves hilarious generosity. Hilarious generosity. Because God is hilariously generous. He gives so much more. The amount of blessings I've seen in my own life, in people, in other people's lives that I know, it is comical. God, you're so funny. And here's the thing, guys. Money is so easy for God. This is, I don't know why I'm preaching right now, but thank it's you for good. Giving, okay? So give online if you want to give there. You can give in the boxes here, and we just thank you guys. Also, wanted to highlight, so a couple of weeks ago, we did a spaghetti fundraiser for the youth of this house, One Life Youth, and I wanted to announce that we brought in our house through donations and through people who came and gave above and beyond. We raised $668. Yeah, we can clap, Joanne. Yeah. And so from the bottom of our hearts, we wanted to say thank you guys, those who were able to make it and those who gave above and beyond, because I know so many of you paid way more for that plate of spaghetti than it deserved. And so it doesn't go unnoticed, and we don't do these things just because, like, we just love to pour into our youth, and you guys get to be a part of that. Not everybody can be there on a Sunday night or mentor a youth student, but you guys doing that allows us to do it better. Yeah. And so thank you. We have more stuff on the docket in the future for fundraisers, so we'll announce those as they come, but I wanted to give you guys kind of an update there. And so, was that it?
Yeah, and just if you feel led, like if you weren't able to come and you want to, it's not too late. You can always give above and beyond their tithing, and just make sure that you note it, that it's for the youth, and we'll put it to good use.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my bride. Happy Mother's Day. Isn't she so cute? She is cute. She loves the attention. Don't let her fool you. All right. Yeah, she turns red. We're going to get into the word. Is everybody okay this morning? Any joyful people in the house? Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day. I know we've already kind of acknowledged the moms. Thank you, Pastor Gaylene, for taking care of our moms. Can we just give it up for Gaylene real quick? She's always... She's always just doing stuff with intention, and I love that. And I just wanted to say thank you, moms, for being moms, because we wouldn't be here without you. Literally, quite literally, would not be here without you. I'm a big fan of moms. I love moms, and moms typically love me. There's only one mom in my whole life that I ever struggled with, and that was my mother-in-law. She loves me now, but there was a time when that wasn't, I wouldn't say she didn't love me because she was a Christian, so she had to love me. But, as far as like me go, I wasn't the top of her list. Nancy, I remember one time Nancy said, she goes, a couple months into us dating, she said, "Oh, I think you're growing on my mom." And I was like, "Yeah, I think I'm growing on her like a rash." But anyways, we're solid now. She loves me. I love her. Praise God. My mom, funny thing about my mom is she still treats me like I'm 13. Guys, I'll be 38 this year. Okay. I'm almost 40. And my mom still checks in on me. She's still, and God forbid she finds out that I haven't been to the doctor or I, you know, something, she'll call me every day. When she finds that information out, did you go to the doctor? Did you call them? Did you get your medication? Like so this last weekend I was in Southern California visiting a friend. And I had a bit of a mishap happen with one of my cards. And the only thing worse about having financial stuff happen is when you have financial stuff happen in another state, when you don't have anybody to help you. And so I just landed. I had this thing come up, and I was like, "What do I do?" Like I'm forever away from home, and I'm here for the weekend. So I called mom and said, "Hey, can you guys help me out real quick? I just need to borrow some money. This thing happened. I wasn't expecting for this to happen." And mom came through because mom's the best. And so I got off the phone with her and go about my day. And then later that evening around 10, I get a text from my mom. She said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm just, I'm kind of stressed. I wasn't expecting this. Like I had this whole thing planned and this thing fell through and this, just kind of sucks, but I'm doing okay." And then she texts me back. She says, "Send me a pic." And I'm thinking, I'm in California. Does she want to, see, I don't know what. So I said, "A pic of what?" And then I fall asleep. And then I wake up the next morning, and I have a text. She says, "A picture of you." And I'm like, "A picture of me?" And I realize my mom thought I got kidnapped. And so I said, "Mom, did you think I got kidnapped?" And she said, "Yes, send me a pic." So I had to send my mom a proof that I was okay, that I was at a church, actually. Like, I'm fine. I wasn't held ransom for a couple $100. I'm okay. So that's just a little insight in my mom's mind, in my mom's world. Too much lifetime. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk today. I want to take a few moments to talk today about prayer. And I'm going to read a lot of verses here that we all have heard, that we all have known, but I'm really feeling stirred up in recent days that the church needs to level up in our prayer, okay? We all know, if I were to ask you as a believer, should you pray, we would most likely say yes. We would know, that is a basic idea or a basic practice of a believer, that we pray. However, I think what happens is that it becomes such a basic idea that we forget how powerful prayer is in our lives. It's in our tool belt. It's one of the most powerful things we could have is when we pray. Okay. And there's no prayer too little. There's no prayer too big. There's no prayer too insignificant for the Lord to say, "Yes, I want to do that for my son. I want to do that for my daughter." Okay. So if we get anything out of today, my hope and prayer is that the intentionality of our prayer lives would just be turned up a notch. If you pray every morning for 15 minutes, is that tomorrow you would pray for 16 minutes? Okay. If you're praying once a week, that you would pray twice a week. Okay. Because here's how you build. Here's some practicalities behind this. Here's how we build good practices. Here's how we build good habits. It's not going 1 to 100. It's going 1 to 2. right? And that's not even about my message. That's just free. Because if the where people fall a lot of times in doing any of these practices, I want to read my Bible more. I want to read, you know, I want to pray more. I want to journal. I want to do these things more, is that they try to do everything and then they do it for a week and then they get overwhelmed and then they're back to square one, or even worse, than they're doing less than they were before. And so a simple practice I can give you is that whatever you're doing now, just do it a little bit more tomorrow. And then in a week or two, do it a little bit more. And then before you know it, you'll be somebody that's actually has this practice where you're like, hey, I'm praying an hour a day, right? And that's not even a crazy amount. That's just somebody who's being diligent in their prayer life. Amen. So you should pray. Okay. The saints pray. We don't just think about prayer, but we pray. How many of you guys have ever said this to somebody? As they're telling you something, or they're telling you about a situation in their lives or somebody else's lives, and they say they're giving you all the garbage and mess that's happening, and you say, "I'll be praying for you," or "I'll pray for that." Right? It's a great thought in theory. I would encourage this house that we wouldn't just be people that offer up prayer, but if we have time, we pray. Because as children of God, this is, again, one of the greatest tools, assets we have, is that we give access to the Father. And so we don't have to go home and wait till our quiet time, or wait till Sunday morning, and wait or wait till we get around our spiritual people. Like, those are all great things. But what would be amazing is if we see believers believe that God can do something right now. And I'm not saying it's bad to say, "I'm going to be praying for you," but what if we just took it a notch up and said, "Hey, let's pray right now." It doesn't have to be a crazy prayer. It doesn't have to be weird and whatever. And we're just going to pray. We're going to lift this up for 30 seconds and we're just going to pray. This is what we do. The first point I have is this: having a prayer life is not a suggestion. Having a prayer life is not a suggestion. I want to read this verse. This is Matthew 6, verse 9. It says, "This then is how you should pray." Notice this Jesus isn't saying, "Hey, if you feel like praying," or, you know, like, you know, if you have some free time, or, "Hey, whatever. If you just want to do it, you should pray." No, he's saying, "This is how you should pray." The implication is, you're going to pray. So when I read this, or when I read many verses in the Bible, I get that there's an expectation from me that I should pray. Because if I'm getting direction from Jesus of how I should pray, that means he's expecting me to pray. "This then is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We need to pray at all times, and we'll read a verse in a little bit that talks about that, even when we don't feel like it. Here's the hard part about being a believer, is that even though we're a believer and we have all access to God, we're still human. And because we're human, we're often led by our feelings. And because we have feelings, we're like, "Well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like pressing. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel..." It's like, regardless of how you feel, this is a mandate in our lives that we are to pray at all times. There was a moment, and I've shared about this before, and it's just such a funny story to me, but it was such a pivotal moment in my walk with the Lord. But, you know, years ago, my family and I, we took the big risk. We moved down to Reading, and it was this whole thing, right? And it was a big leap of faith. And I remember day two, we're in another state, 500 miles away from our family. We have nothing, no resources, nothing, because we took this big leap, right? And in my mind, the way things are supposed to go were not the way they went. And so when I got there and had nothing and no resources and nothing to do and nothing to pull from and no money to pull from and no family to lean on and nothing, I call my pastor, my man of God, And I don't know what I'm expecting him to say, but I want him to say something that's going to make me feel better. That feeling part, I want that feeling part to feel better. And he doesn't make me feel better. What he tells me is, you need to grab your family and you need to pray. That's great, Pastor Mike, but that doesn't fix my issue right now, so I thought. But what I did because I'm obedient, and I grabbed my family. I remember we were at a park because we had nowhere to go. We had nowhere to be. So we were at a park. The kids, 2 and 4, Caden and Sky were 2 and 4. They had no idea. They're just like, this is such a cool adventure. Let's go to the park. You know, it's California, so it's like 80 degrees outside. It's beautiful. And me and Nancy are like freaking out. Our hair's falling out. Our pets' heads are falling off. Things are just crazy. I gather my family. And I said, and I'm being so transparent here. I did not feel like praying. I will go as far as to say is I did not believe God could do this. And this is why I say it's important that we recognize that one, God is so much greater than our feelings. He's so much greater than what we think about our situation. And yes, there are moments where it takes faith to do things. Also, God is God and he's going to do what he's going to do. So there are times, and I could say this because I lived it, is that I don't always have to believe God's going to do something for him to do it because he's still going to do it. Why? Because he's faithful. And so we prayed. And I didn't pray believing. I didn't pray thinking. I didn't pray. I just was like, I'm being obedient. This is what Pastor Mike told me to do. This great grand advice, pray. And it really was what we needed to do, because not even moments later, probably, I don't even know the timeline, it had to be within the hour, I get a phone call, and not only do we have a place to live, I can go into a whole other blessings that happened, but it all started, this was a catalyst. How are we going to start this faith journey? Is we pray. And when we pray, and when we allow God to come into our situation and we lift it up, regardless of how we feel, regardless of what the circumstances around us are saying, we believe our God. Because if we're not praying, what are we doing? Prayer is not just preparation. Prayer is the battle. There are things. Prayer is preparation. We need to make sure we're praying for what's to come. But we also need to understand that prayer is there are times where we're in turmoil about what we're praying about. I can say right now to each and every one of you, I want you to think about that person you're offended by. I want you to think about that person that has wronged you. And I want you to pray for them. Pray for their soul. Pray for their spirit. Pray that there's restoration between you two. That would be a prayer that would cause you most likely turmoil. That'd be a prayer where you're like, I don't want to pray for that person. So prayer is the battle. Prayer is the this great asset we have to bring to the courts of heaven. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Listen to this. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually." This is one single verse. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Now, I'm not the smartest man. I'm not a very educated man, but I have a general concept of what continual means. Pray continually. It means that we even when we don't feel like it, even when there's obstacles in our way, even when things are hitting us from left and right, we keep praying. Verse 18 says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So again, we have a mandate here. This is God. You want to know God's will in your life? We just got told. God's will in our life is to rejoice always. Oh, when things are great and things are fine and dandy? No. Always. Pray continually. Oh, when I have time, or when we go to church on Sunday, or in the morning, or in my prayer closet? No, always. give thanks for all in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Verse 19 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. I love how it says in the Passion, the same verse, the first three verses, it says, let joy be your continual feast. In verse 17, it says, make your life a prayer. Make your life a prayer. That when wherever I go, my life is a prayer. That when I get around people, they know like, oh, that person prays. I need to get around them. Like, this is why we should be the most attractive people to the world, because the world's problems are no different than our problems. The only difference is, and the main difference is that we have access to a God in heaven, and we should be the most attractive people in the world to the world, to that when the world is on fire, your family's world, your friend's world, your coworker's world, the person in the grocery store, we should, if we're full of prayer, we should be the most attractive people to them, where they're just, there's something about you. And I know when I get around you, something happens. Verse 18 in the Passion, it says, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Are you guys with me? Amen. Is anybody feeling fired up to pray? Okay, it's okay. You know, I know for whatever your church history is, I want to let you guys know that it's okay to talk in church. It's okay to have fun in church. It's okay that this isn't just me up here yelling at you guys. But hopefully, you guys are encouraged or getting encouraged or starting to think about how do I take this word and apply it to my life tomorrow and for the rest of my life, because here's the scary part, church. Can I hit you with a bit of reality? There are people this Sunday morning, right now, or they've already gone to church in an early service. There are people just like you, sitting in seats just like you, and they're going to hear a sermon. They've sat through worship, or they stood through worship, and they're hearing a word, and they're going to leave their church, and nothing is going to be different. And this is the sad reality of the state of the church, is that, and I'm not trying to beat up on the church, like our church specifically, but as a whole, is that if we're not coming here and leaving different, applying something to our life, then let's shut the doors and never open it again. Because if we're not going to come into this place and actually get something that's going to be applicable to our lives, and where we're going to do something different tomorrow, then what are we doing? If we're not going to read this word and let this word read us, then what are we doing? If we're not going to pray believing that God is God and that he can change our circumstances in an instant, what are we doing? We either believe that God is who he says he is, or we don't. There's no in between. There are some gray areas in the Bible that I don't know the ins and outs of, but the one thing that I do know that's black and white is either God is faithful or God is not faithful. Either God is real or he's not real. What side are we going to stand on? And are we going to continue to just do church, continue to just check the box? Are we going to change when we leave this place? When you guys walk out these doors, you guys have an opportunity to do something different with your lives every single day. And we can't just eat off old manna. We can't just eat off all manna. There are people in the Bible, they tried to do that and didn't work out for them. We can't just live off of, let me be transparent. The story I just told about us moving down to Reading, I actually hate telling that story. It's a powerful moment in our lives. It changed the trajectory of me and my wife's life. It changed our family from the inside out. I don't regret anything about it. Maybe just a little bit, but most of it, it's amazing. I hate telling this story. Here's why. It's because I don't want that story to be the peak of my faith. And sometimes I struggle to tell that story because it is an exciting story. I took my whole family and I said, hey guys, want to do something full of faith? Let's leave everything we know and everybody we know, our comfort, our church, our family, everything, our security, and let's go to another place with zero plan. You guys don't understand. There was no plan other than God. There wasn't a backup plan. In order for us to come back from California at that moment, we would have had to borrow so much money. We would have had to, like, we basically went and we're not looking back. So it's a great story. Also, it grieves my heart if that is the pinnacle of my faith, because that was 11 years ago. If I've done nothing greater in my faith than that, Lord, help me. I want to make sure that my life that is going from glory to glory, because God doesn't call me to go from glory to good. He calls me to go from glory to glory. Amen. So here's again, the scary thing is the enemy. There is a real enemy and he hates you. He wants to see you fail. The enemy's content with Sunday morning faith. If we come in this place and we don't do anything with what we've learned or what we've gathered, if we read our word and nothing changes, if we pray and we just go about our day and we just did our religious practice, the enemy's not so concerned about you. He's totally fine that you're doing that. Keep doing that. The enemy, though, what shakes the enemy is Monday morning faith. What rattles hell is when the saints become the church and don't depend on the church. I love church. I love Sunday morning. But I have church in its rightful place, and that is this, is that church is not God. God is church. I will come here every Sunday morning because I love you guys. I love gathering with the saints. I love equipping the saints. I love gathering with you students downstairs. But the second that I begin to be so dependent on this building or so dependent on somebody else telling me what the Word of God says, I've missed it. And there are seasons for that. There's obviously seasons. When I first came to the Lord, that's what I needed. I needed this place more than ever. And when I first came to the Lord, I was addicted to this place. I was here whenever the doors were open. I was in two cell groups. I was going to this service. And anytime I could be here, I wanted to be here, right? And there are seasons for that. But then there comes a point where we need to know how to feed ourselves. And we need to understand, have the church in the rightful place. And here's the thing, there are no days off in the kingdom. Sunday isn't just our lifting day. What is that verse that Kanye says? The strong start on Monday. Second point I have is this. Having a prayer life means God becomes our catch-all. I would be very surprised if not everybody in here has a catch-all drawer or a catch-all shelf of some sort, right? For us, we have both. We have a drawer that we try to clean out, and it just, we look in there and like there's like cords and you know, screws, and it's like, what does this go to? I don't know. Like you're just like, what is it? It just becomes the drawer where you're like, I don't know where this goes. So you just put it in there, right? But we also have a shelf. So my wife has a homeschool shelf. You've been to our house, you walk into our kitchen, and to the right, there's this black shelf, okay? And it's about probably yay high, and it has 12 square shelves in it that she has all of her homeschool stuff on, and that's great. The problem is, it's right in this, like, it's almost like this Bermuda Triangle where like everything just crashes in this spot. So if you have anything on you that you're like, I don't know what to do with, it gets put on the top of the shelf. And you'll look at, and she'll clean it off, and it takes maybe a week. And it's like, and you try your hardest, but it's just this catch-all. It just, and the same thing with this drawer. You know, I cleaned it out a few months ago, and I organized it all. I took all the cords and put them in a big Ziploc bag, and I put everything nice. And then the other day, I looked in there, and I'm like, good Lord, there's so much more stuff in there. This is what I envision, though. When we pray, God becomes our catch-all. So he's not just looking for our safe and sanctified prayers where we have all the words that we know how to say and we're quoting scripture and it's beautiful and poetic. He's also looking for the times where we're a hot mess and we don't have the words and maybe we're just crying out and we're just saying whatever. God's, let me remind you of this, church. God's not afraid of your mess. He is so not afraid of your mess. And what is your mess? Your mess is your sin. Your mess is your bad habits. Your mess is, you know, the way you talk to your spouse the other day. Your mess is the way you talk to your kids the other day. Your mess is the way you talk to that person on the road that cut you off the other day, your coworker, your boss. Your mess is the way you think. Your mess is, I can keep going. That's your mess. He's not afraid of your mess. We need to, the practice that I think we need to get really good at is that we need to stop trying to pre-wash our car before we go to the car wash. We need to understand that God is willing to accept us. Now, does he approve of everything we do? Absolutely not. But he's willing to accept us right where we are. And it's like that thing, I believe that God isn't always looking for us to get from point A to Z. But he wants us to get at least from point A to B. And sometimes it's a quicker. Sometimes you move a lot faster. But the only way we get there is when we're not afraid to bring God our mess. Okay, so catch all. Matthew 11:28 in the Message, it says this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Anybody in here ever feel tired or worn out? Just physically, right? I'm getting older, so sometimes I'm like, wow, it's like 3 p.m. And I'm like, I can go to bed right now and wake up at 8 a.m. tomorrow and be totally fine, right? But tired, worn out, burned out on religion. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Not only does God take our burdens, but he delights in them. He delights in them. And this is sometimes for, there's different personality types all in the room, I know. And so if you're a person that is naturally, you're a helper, naturally you're somebody who is there for people, this is a hard concept sometimes to get because you don't ever want to feel like a burden. You don't ever want to feel like you're bothering somebody. And you often hear when somebody says, why didn't you just call me? And your response is, oh, I didn't want to bother you. You can't bother God. I preached a message months ago now, and I titled it, You Are Not Annoying God. And I released that again in the room is that you're not annoying to God. Why? Because you're his children. You know who doesn't annoy me is my children. My children have access to me in a different way that no other kid does. They're able to come and inconvenience and disrupt everything so I can go do chalk out in the back. So I can hold a hose down the slide so my daughter can make her own water slide into the kiddie pool. Right? Like, we're not a burden or a bother to God. He takes delight in our burdens. Last fall... End of last summer to last fall, I went through just a really, God, what are you doing season? And I lost my job. I got laid off. And I actually, I'll just tell the story. So one day I worked from home. I worked for this company based out of Texas. And forgive me if I've already told this story, but I worked from home and I'd been doing it for a year. And I mean, it was a great job, great benefits, great pay. I was at home. I was able to pretty much leave and come as I got. They paid for me and my wife to go down to Texas for a Christmas party. Like it was a cool gig, but I was miserable. because I was so bored. And I had this more on my heart to do. So I remember it was a Thursday, and Nancy was gone, and she comes home. It's like in the afternoon. And I said, Nance, this company can go under tomorrow, and I would not care. I could lose this job tomorrow. Do you guys want to know what happened tomorrow? I'm not making this up. Almost 24 hours to the date or to the time, I get a call from the CEO. Hey, we have to do layoffs. And we were supposed to be only 2 weeks. It ended up being, it was permanently laid off. But my point is that I literally prophesied my job. It was my fault. They went under because of me. But I went in this season, and I for 2 months, I didn't have a job. And it was rough, and it was tough, and it was every day just coming before the Lord. They weren't pretty prayers. They were faith-filled prayers, but they weren't prayers that were eloquent and clean and all buttoned up. No, they were prayers of like, God, I need you. I need you to come through now. I need you to do something. I'm frustrated. I'm without. I'm in my mid-30s. This is not where I should be. And God just so gracious, just continued to love me and continued to send support through friends and family and continue to bless me in different ways. God's not afraid of my mess. And this is why I was able to bring all of this to him and not feel like I was burdening him and not feel like God was like, okay, here comes Eric again. Yeah, I know you lost your job. Got it. Get over it. Move on. God wasn't looking at me that way. And eventually I got a job and it led me to something else and I'm starting something new and exciting this upcoming school year as well. But I really believe that if I wouldn't have put my faith in the right place and have put God in the right place in my life, I'm not sure I would have been able to see all the puzzle pieces he was putting together. Daniel 6. This is, let me rewind a little bit. I talked about this a few weeks ago when Caden preached, because I love this. When we meet Daniel in Daniel 1 and we meet his friends, they're young people, they're young men. When we read this story with Daniel in the lion's den, which we've heard about, whether it's through Sunday school or just many times, Daniel's in his 80s. Daniel's an old man. And what I love about this story is it's a story of somebody standing up for their faith, standing up for their rights, going against the grain, doing the thing that they know they're supposed to be doing, even though it's going to get them into trouble. And what had happened was there were these men and they conspired against Daniel, and they convinced the king to write a decree that they were to pray to no other god. And what I love about this is they did this specifically because they knew where they were going to get Daniel in trouble. Daniel hears about this, and the first thing he does is pray. He prays. He doesn't contemplate what is going to happen. He doesn't, okay, let me just do this like so nobody sees me. He actually goes to the same place that he prays every time. And it says this in Daniel 6. It says, now when Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house where the windows of his upper room opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. The game plan didn't change. I prayed now, and I'm going to pray after the fact. And this is what actually led him to getting thrown in to the lion's den. This very thing. And we know the story. God protected him. The lions didn't consume him. And then the people that conspired against Daniel, all of them, and I think their family as well, got thrown in there. Bad day for them. But he prayed. If there's an emphasis in the Old Testament about prayer, I think there should be an emphasis in our lives about prayer. Not I don't just pray when it's convenient. I don't just pray when I feel like it. I don't just pray when it's safe. But I pray. The saints pray. The last verse I want to read, Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray in the Spirit when? Always, all times, with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints. What would happen if Christians believed their prayers worked? Can you imagine if a body of believers actually prayed believing that God can do something? What if we actually engaged with our prayer like it's going to do something? That it's not just words, it's not just something we say because I'm a Christian and I pray. But actually, no, I'm a Christian and I pray because I have a God who hears my prayer. I have a God who answers my prayers. The children of Israel had to pray for 400 years. It says God heard their groans for 400 years before Moses came along. So you can't tell me that nothing happens when we pray, that the problem is, again, because of our human nature, we're impatient. Well, I haven't seen it, so obviously God doesn't want this. Maybe. But until he tells you that, keep praying. Oh, I haven't seen them come to the Lord, and I've been praying for them for decades. Maybe. But until God gives you the red light on that, there's a green light to keep praying. I haven't seen my dream come to fruition. I've been going after this for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Maybe this isn't what God has for me. Maybe. But unless God has said that to you, keep going. Keep praying. Until God gives you another direction to pray, keep praying that way. It's impossible for nothing to happen when we pray. This is a conviction I have in my heart. Even in the most impossible situations, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that I don't doubt, because I doubt. And to be transparent with you, I doubt God. There are times I have prayers in my heart and I'm like, I don't know, because I'm human. Do I believe God's faithful? Absolutely. But I doubt sometimes when I pray because I'm human. But I have this conviction, whether I believe it's going to happen or not, I also believe it's impossible for nothing to happen when I pray. There's movement somewhere in heaven. Our God is that good. Amen? Yes. Amen. So this is what I want to do. And I want to end with this. Is I want us to pray for each other. And so let's stand. Let's stand as a church. Caden, you come over here, buddy. And what I want us to do is I just want us to take the hand of the person next to us. And we're going to pray. And I know for some of you, this is uncomfortable. For some of you, praying out loud is it's scary. I get it. But again, this is just turning the notch just up a little bit. Okay. So this is what I want us to do. I'm going to direct you in this a little bit, but we're going to pray, for the person, on our left. And then I'm gonna give us a couple seconds, and then we're gonna pray for the person on our right. And if you have nobody on your left and nobody on your right, just pray anyways. God hears you, okay? So I'm gonna put this down, and I'm gonna pray, and we're all gonna pray together out loud, okay? I want to hear your voices. I'm challenging you guys to lift your voices up. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go pray for the person on your left. All right, let's pray for the person on our right and go. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, last thing is what I want us to do, okay? I want us to take we're going to take 30 seconds, and I want us to just lift up our prayers to heaven. Whatever's on your heart, it could be somebody you're praying for, it could be something you're praying for, it could be a circumstance you're praying for. But right now, I just want us as the church, as a whole, to lift our voices to heaven. And we're just going to do it for 30 seconds. And here's the thing. I believe that, like I said, it's impossible for nothing to happen when we pray. I believe that from today, from this date, we're going to see testimonies come out of the prayers that happen in this house. Amen? All right. So, yes, you can say something.
I'm just reminded as we're standing here about when my husband and I first got together. He had a child by his first marriage, and I had two by mine. And we didn't have the opportunity to physically be together. It was impossible. And so we talked to each other. And we figured it out afterwards that we had talked in the first 2 weeks. 2 weeks. That we had talked almost 200 hours. 200 hours. And we got to know each other in that 200 hours. And no subject was off limits. And so I'm thinking to myself as I'm standing there, I don't have to. All of these things are not suggestions. They're the way to do it. But God gives us free will, free choice. We don't have to pick to pray, but we get to. I got to join with my husband at that point in relationship. And 200 hours later, we knew more about each other than most couples ever know about each other. So can we just apply that to our prayer life? Can you spend 200 hours with Jesus? What an opportunity we get to.
So good. So good. All right. We're going to take 30 seconds. We're going to lift up our voices to heaven. And as soon as I put this mic down and go. Thank you. God. I know you see us, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God, I thank you for this house. God, I thank you for every person that called this place home. God, I thank you, Lord, for the moms in the house, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you, Lord, love us so, so, so very much, God. Lord, that it's a love we will never understand. It's a love we will never fathom. It's a love that we will never be able to measure, God. And I just pray that we would leave this place better equipped, God, better inspired, God, closer to you, Father. I pray for any person in this place that is even struggling with the concept of how do I pray? When do I pray? What does it look like for me and to have a prayer life, that you would begin to download right now, God, strategies from heaven, Lord, and that we would have prayer warriors walking out of this place, God. That we would not be passive prayers, God. We would not be prayers that are scared to pray. We would not be people that would prayers that are meek, God. But we would pray, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that we move heaven, God, that we rattle hell, God. And we thank you, Jesus, for this house, for what you're doing. We thank you that it's blessed. We thank you that every house in this place is blessed. And we just thank you so much, Jesus, for what you're doing in this space. And all God's people said, amen. I love you guys. Have a great week.